I think we should call this meeting to order. Welcome to the April 26, 2023 regular meeting of the Board of Kingston Port Commission. Comments from those in attendance will be allowed upon recognition of the chair. Please identify yourself by stating your name before you start talking. If you would like to be added to the agenda for a future meeting, please contact the port office at least 1 week prior to the regularly scheduled meeting. Please submit your documents and or presentations at the time of your request. This is a preliminary agenda subject to change and approval by the commission. So let us begin by call to order. Let's pledge allegiance and
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So the next item is approval of the agenda as it was written. Is there a motion to do that?
I so move.
And I'll second that.
Okay, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so now we have a public comment period. You may address the commission regarding any item related to port business, including items on the agenda.
I'm going to leave a little early, so...
Could you identify yourself?
My name's Tony Hitchman, and I'd first like to ask a question, and then I'd like to make a comment. First off, if you attended the public port meeting last weekend regarding the expansion plans, do you recommend you attend again? Mm-hmm. Why?
Because I think that there's going to be different people there with different questions and different, so you'll hear more information probably. And I just think it looks better if there's more people from the community attending these meetings and making their, because things might come up that you never thought about before that you'd want to ask at that meeting too. So, yeah, I would encourage it.
Okay.
Yeah.
The presentation will be the same.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the drawings are still the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I can get
so far
30 minutes later without missing
yes.
Yes.
Then I have a comment. I stood up at the meeting and made this similar comment, commending what the port was doing. I strongly am in favor. And since you didn't get it on the mic, maybe you get it this time. I have a lot of history in Old Kingston, and three grocery stores used to be in this town. There was two taverns. The ale house used to be Mary's Tavern. That was the one that was more respectable at the time. Lots of churches, lots of people coming and going, especially in the summertime. It really pains me to see Kingston proper deteriorating. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to do something dramatic like you people are proposing. And I think it's wonderful that you're making that step. Now I'd like to encourage you to stand tall and strong. That meeting that I attended last Thursday, I think 90% of the attendees were drawing Social Security, me included. Mm-hmm. I really would like to hear the younger people with kids in this community. Now, this might not get done before I can use the restaurant, but those people, that could be a lasting impact on the community and really jumpstart it. So however we can find more input from younger people, I think that would be really positive. And then on the backside, I sensed there was a number of individuals at that meeting that are nicely spoke of as not in my backyard kind of. And to have a landslide in an election, you only need 60%. Please don't let those naysayers control the conversation on you.
just one comment, Tony, in reference to getting younger people involved. I'm really hoping that as we progress with this, that maybe we can reach out to like homeowners associations and other organizations like that. And we're planning on that third meeting to be like October, November, somewhere later in the year. And this time of year, there's so many young families, their kids are involved in sports. They've got their evenings totally filled. And so that's why I think a lot of them haven't been around, because I know a lot of them are involved in sports activities. But that doesn't explain all of them. But I'm hoping that the more we reach out and the more that more people will come. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't agree more, Laura.
Yeah.
Does anyone have suggestions of how we could do that?
I think homeowners associations. I know that the one on Barber Cutoff here has a homeowners association. Jefferson Beach has a homeowners, and you know, sort of an HOA.
They have PTA associations still?
There mm-hmm. is. There is. The school contact. See if we can get in the school newsletter of some sort. If there is one.
Yeah. And then there's the elementary school.
There's Gordon and Wolfley.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. We've got it on the reader board, we have it on our website, but if they're not actively going there looking for that information, they're not going to know so much about mm-hmm. it. But, I mean, it feels like primarily it was developers and those that are really, you know, actively engaged in events down there that have shown up. And so it'd be interesting to see more of the actual community as a whole, not just those mm-hmm. that are strictly involved with the court.
But you find that when you look at the service organizations in town too, like the Chamber, the Kiwanis, the Rotary, all of them, mm-hmm. if you go in, the crowd that Tony's talking about is who is attending
right.
those two. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is. And so it's how do you reach out, whether maybe you go and go to their one of their meetings and say, mm-hmm. we really want you to come, this is the reason why.
Yeah.
And maybe just a 5-minute thing. Hey, we're talking about this, we really want some younger people's inputs.
Right.
I don't know. There's just...
The schools is a good...
Mm-hmm. Your plan is transitory. You need to emphasize that. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to do is change what's happened to Kingston.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But maybe that'll get them... But I understand, you know, kids and school and all this stuff.
Busy.
It's hard.
Yeah. Year in the year. I think it will get a little bit more.
I did see on Facebook that the town of Kingston mm-hmm. Facebook page had a prominent thing in there, too.
And it's
Tim Davis and you
got,
yeah.
Just
yep.
to let people know.
Yep.
So.
I'm seeing it daily on Facebook now.
Yeah, and so that's helpful,
that
I think,
really
for
very,
people to see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Been a lot of engagement
mm-hmm.
on the town of Kingston.
Yeah,
particular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder about whether or not, you know, at an upcoming KCAC meeting, maybe sometime, you know, before school goes out, that we might seek a invitation there to
just
make a presentation. Maybe a sneak peek could happen with some of the input of, you know, a change in the plan or little modifications
yeah.
that people are suggesting mm-hmm. might be a next step there, because that that group actually, there's an awful lot of you know, public interest from gov delivery and other kinds of things that people sign up for in relation to land use, for instance, and that type of thing. So
mm-hmm.
That might be an option for us as well here down the road. Yeah.
Each of the organizations have students involved.
Mm-hmm.
Rotary does, Kiwanis does.
KCAC has a person. Yep.
They all have student representation.
Yep.
So maybe reaching out to those groups that the students support mm-hmm. would get the kids talking to their parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome.
Cool. All good ideas, yeah.
No, that's a great comment.
Yeah.
I'm not even from Kingston, and it makes me sad to see, you know, some of the, you know, it's just, it seems like it used to be alive, and we just need to bring it back to its,
mm-hmm.
I'm from Bremerton, and I used to work at Kitsap Credit Union for many years, and when we built the building there, the corporate office, we were hoping to bring some revitalization to downtown. We couldn't get rid of the JCPenney building that was there. That's the parking garage. Yes, it is.
Wow.
Yes, it is. And so, because I'm passionate about that, I think that, you know, these towns, Kingston, I haven't worked here long. It'll be 2 years in May, but it's really a big part of my heart. I just, something about this town is very special. Mm-hmm. And even talking to Carl today, mm-hmm. our IT, he's from here.
Carl.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah, I live down here. And, you know, just, it's just, I could see the emotions and, you know, why this is such an important project.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Seems like it only comes out on the 4th of July.
Yeah, or Christmas. Love the Christmas too, but yeah.
Yeah.
But to see these businesses flourish, you know, to have it be a real
mm-hmm.
destination, just a place to mm-hmm. fun place to be. It's beautiful here.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Any other comment?
I could throw in there if you want to. I'm Anthony Taylor. I'm here with South Kingston Cove, the youth sailing program. If you wanted to get in touch with the parents in the community, you could, the school is a good path. PTA, I recommend that.
Okay.
My wife is a library teacher at Gordon.
Yeah.
The individual here being nice and quiet is a music teacher.
Yes.
And a resident and a product of Kingston. He's also with the South Kingston Cubbies, our managing director and sergeant at arms. So, but yeah, I've been here since 2014. I'm retired Navy, federal service after 32 years. And I'm a native Floridian and decided I'd like to settle down someplace nice. And I would drive home a point. I lived in Europe for 18 years. And the small villages in Europe and the small communities in Europe, they all shared a common trait that Kingston has. But they do one thing a little bit different. They are actively involved in events, in youth development. And at this level, you mentioned that it shouldn't just be 4th of July or Christmas, and I agree with you. There's four seasons in a year. Plenty of opportunities to throw festivals, events, things that drag people in. One of the things that we're trying to do with the sailing program is build up the sailing program as an asset for Kingston. Sails on the water, regattas, bringing people here, trying to get the youth all the way through college level Olympics, class sailing. It's one of the gifts that we have here. That's what we're here trying to support and fight for. So. And that's my two cents. But you are on the right track. You want to get the folks in my generational group. I'm not quite into Social Security yet, but I am out of the military. And I do have three sons.
Yeah. So. And I think all of us, I mean, me included, I'm older, but what I want to get away from this working with the port is leaving it for those beyond, you know.
Yeah.
Leaving
Boy Scout
model.
Yes. Leaving it better than
that. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's what we do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think that's why we're all here.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your service.
My pleasure. Mm-hmm. I'm not up there when I can. Jump out of planes like I used to. It was fun.
Oh,
long.
Come on.
There you go. I could never have done that.
Okay, well, our next item is the consent agenda. These matters are routine and will be enacted by one motion of the commission with no separate discussion. If discussion is desired, then that item may be removed from the consent agenda by a commissioner. What we're looking at is approving meeting minutes from the regular meetings of March 22nd. And that's it on the regular meetings. Special session meeting minutes, March 28th. And then work session meeting minutes of March 28th, April 4th, April 11th, and April 18th. It also includes approving the March 2023 warrants in the amount of $81,270.12, and EFT payments in the amount of $109,722.15. So is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I move that we approve the consent agenda as written.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Well, at this point, we're going to recess to executive session. And per RCW 42.30.110.11, to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency matters relating to agency enforcement actions, or to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency litigation and potential litigation to which the agency, the governing body, or a member acting in an official capacity is or is likely to become a party, when public knowledge regarding the discussion is likely to result in an adverse legal or financial consequence to the agency. We're scheduled for an executive session of about 30 minutes, but Greg has, did you say?
Five minutes.
We're really looking at a much shorter period than that. So,
sorry.
With that,
yeah.
Don't put your stuff down.
We're going to stand up there for 5 minutes,
okay.
And then we'll be back.
Okay.
Okay. See, there will be action.
Go grab it.
Yeah, there you go.
Comment before you leave. There will be no action taken.
There will be.
In the executive session?
No, after.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, okay. After we come back, yeah.
No action will be taken in the executive session.
Okay. Okay.
6:54. 6:53
still.
Okay.
Yep.
Are you on?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So I'll call the regular meeting back to order at 6:53. It was, I think, about a 3-minute executive session. You never saw them that fast before.
Yeah, we were surprised.
And we will move to action items. The first one being to approve a severance agreement developed by our legal counsel with Ashley Ferguson. Is there a motion?
I make a motion to approve the severance agreement with Ashley Ferguson.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, and the next item is to approve resolution number 2023-04-2501, which is the revised employee handbook. Is there a motion to approve that?
Let's see here. Oh, I will make a motion to approve resolution 2023-04-25-01, the revised employee handbook.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So now we have a number of discussion items, and the first is the Sale Kingston Co. presentation led by Joey Kirshner. And I'd like to comment that I am so happy that that program is thriving.
So are we. So with that, I do have a PowerPoint presentation because it's inbred in me, so it makes life easier and kind of gives a good way to share a lot of information. Sale Kingston Co., there's a special relationship. Am I getting a weight?
I'm trying, no, I was telling Mary, I'm trying to do from the presentation.
There we go.
Yeah, I just wanted you to.
Yes, okay. I'm going to move.
I can't speak that fast. Can you go back a couple? Well, we're getting back to that first slide. You know, there is a special relationship between Sale Kingston Co. and the Port of Kingston. And part of that special relationship is the things that have happened over the last several years, all the way back to 2015. And the most important part, I think, is that of communication between what we're doing and what you guys are doing. So I appreciate the time on the agenda tonight. So with that, I'd like to keep going into the next slide here. So this is the mission statement for Sale Kingston Co. You can read through that. Sail Kingston Cove is a community nonprofit dedicated to provide education opportunities to youth with accessibility to all through sailing programs which promote safety, self-confidence, fun, and an appreciation for the marine environment. There are several key words in there in terms of education. That's what we're focused on, educating the youth and also the community around us. But also safety, self-confidence, fun, appreciation of the marine environment. It's always fun to watch these kids come in on a Monday morning in terms of what they're doing and how they leave at the end of the week. One of the key words here is nonprofit. We are a 501c3, which says that people can donate through us, and if they do their taxes where they have depreciation or deductions, they can take advantage of that. So from a nonprofit standpoint, Sail Kingston Cove is a separate corporation. We have a board, we have fiduciary responsibilities in and of itself. So with the next slide, talk about here are the current board members. Myself, Butch Brown, is treasurer, Reed Osborne, secretary, Bruce Chandler is high school sailing coach, and I'll come back to Bruce in a minute. Rick Eveleth, Jack Lott, Liam Neer, right here, very, very near here, Dean Smith, and Anthony Taylor. We all donate our not only our time, but our treasure as well. These are all volunteers, except for Liam, and I'll come back to that in a minute. But we both donate our time, but also our treasure. There are times when little things come up. For instance, Anthony takes care of a lot of the maintenance on the boats. When he needs to buy something for maintenance, he buys it and donates it. So it's an ongoing process. Don't trip on the chair on the stage. So it's an ongoing process, but I also want to point out that there are other people that are not current board members that were instrumental, Mary being one, part of the founding group.
And
Jimmy James, I was going there next.
Okay.
Jimmy James. So these are the board members, and I had to figure out how to give you a signal to go to the next slide.
Oh, sorry, I'm doing too many things at once. I apologize.
So those are all volunteers, but we do have employees. About 2 years ago, we made the decision to move into a different arena in terms of people that work for us. In the past, we've looked at our instructors as contract instructors or contractors. But 2 years ago, we decided that we really needed to face the fact that they are really employees, and we treat them as employees, which is more expensive for Sail Kingston Cove, but we think overall it's a benefit for the employees as well as for Sail Kingston Cove. Liam is now a executive director. He has a salary. In the past, that role was played by Rita Osborne and her able-bodied assistant, Rick Eveleth. They got to the point where they were donating almost half their springtime and almost all the summer to run the program. We had grown to that point where it was really unfair to do that. So Liam is agreeable to be the executive director. So he has a salary now. So he can take all of us out to dinner anytime. We have paid instructors, they're employees. We do 6 or 7 each summer. So those are our paid employees. Okay.
Oh, see? It's not responding as quickly as...
Okay. So these are the programs that we have, the Learn to Sail program. We have five different kinds of camps, the beginner opties, advanced beginner, and FJs. We also have a Opti sailing racing program that teach the kids basics of racing. And we have the Guppy programs. These are the 5 to 7 year olds. We don't put them in the sailboats by themselves, but they go out with instructors. Mm. From a number of sailor standpoint, we do on average between 110 and 120 sailor sessions each year. And I use sailor sessions because sometimes sailors go twice. As part of that number, we have 10 to 11 scholarships. And these are sailors that family can't afford a full fee. and they do qualify for a scholarship. Only one person knows the background, and that's Liam, and nobody else knows that. So that's a confidential decision on his shoulders. Good for him. So that's something that we're actually pretty proud of, and I'll come back to that in terms of where that money comes from. High school sailing. Bruce Chandler is now the high school sailing coach. About 2 years after Sail Kingston Cove started operation, some of the local parents came to us. They asked us if we could sponsor high school sailing for the Kingston students. Prior to that, the high school students would get out of class, have to get transportation over to Paulsboro, and then catch up with their peers in the program, and then afterwards come back and then go home for dinner, do homework, etc. So we took a look at that, talked a lot with Paulsboro because we didn't want to have any hard feelings there. We talked with Andrew Nelson, who was the director for youth sailing from the Sailing Foundation in Seattle. And they have oversight to help all the sailing programs like ourselves throughout Puget Sound. We talked through that, and at the end of the day, we decided to sponsor a high school sailing program. And by that, we mean the sailors are covered under our insurance. They use our equipment, and we provide as much support as we can. There are generally between 8 and 10 sailors each year. They're part of the Northwest Interscholastic Sailing Association, follow their rules, attend their regattas. And the high school sailing program is divided into a fall schedule and a spring schedule. So they're on a school year, which creates a little bit of a confusion. Sail Kingston Cove, our fiscal year is a calendar year. Your is also a calendar year. Theirs is on a school year. So we've been trying to work with Greg to try to get this confusion straightened out. We've hosted two different regattas here in Kingston. We're trying to do more. The good news is that we just found out within the last few days that the high school sailing program is doing very, very well. They participated in invitational regattas, and the A, let's see, make sure I get this right, the gold team in Division A from our high school sailing program came in 8th out of 19 in regionals, and they are now going to it's Pacific Northwest regatta championship down in Oregon. Mm-hmm. If they're successful, they can go on to the nationals, so mm-hmm. that's a big deal. The silver team came in 9th, and they're invited to the regionals in Oak Harbor. So a very successful time. So that's the high school program. So let's go on from there. Financials. Our operating budget is between $40,000 and $45,000 a year, and the vast majority of that goes to salaries, insurance, port, and that pretty much covers us from an operation standpoint. Our financial goal is to be sustainable from an operating standpoint. And what that means is that in a calendar year, whatever the cost is for the sailing program, we've got enough revenue to cover that. So the operating costs are covered. We've pretty much been able to do that. However, we're not strong enough to be able to pick up our capital needs. So our goal is to really still rely on grants and donations for the capital needs. Next.
Jerry, may I ask?
Sure, absolutely.
Capital needs includes boats?
Boats, chase boats, anything that looks like it might be a capital-oriented entity. So I think it's also a little bit of a benefit to take a walk back in time. Youth sailing has been around Kingston for a while, and Sally Fenton was a founder. for the sailing program. I'm not sure about the dates, so don't hold me to those, but I think she started that somewhere around 2000 and went up through, I think, about 2010. She was responsible for building the float. It was anchored in a cove outside of her property, and she ran the programs from her property. So that's kind of where that started. And I come across two individuals that kind of link back to this. If we can do the next one. Past Kingston sailor, Brendan Fahey. First of all, that's not a picture of Brendan. He'd be the first one to laugh. Brendan was a Kingston sailor, became an instructor, did sailing over at the University of Washington. He actually did coaching there as well. He was on the board for a while with us until he got involved in the charter boat business out of Bellingham and now out of Alaska. But he's on the board of the Sailing Foundation. That's a success story from the past. Another one is Anthony DeBoer. Anthony, I came across about four years ago. He right now lives in the Amsterdam, Netherlands, but he was a sailor, a sailing instructor. He's now in top management in a biotech firm in Amsterdam. And when he and I were talking about multiple things, the sailing program came up. Unsolicited, he said, best job he's ever had. I mean, that was an unsolicited testimonial. And I just hope that in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now, somebody else can be standing here and talking about the successes of the program for these kind of individuals. Yes, going back for the rest of the history, Paul Spoh, Parks and Recs, they took over from Sally. Sally was kind of running out of energy, Pulsebow Parks and Recs took over the sailing program, kept it in Kingston, but it was administered by the Parks and Recs. I don't know when that transition took place, but their last sailing session was 2014. In 2015, there's a lot going on, including losing my voice. But in 2015, several things happened. Pulsebow took the sailing program from Kingston and moved it to Pulsebow. The float that Sally built, which was transferred at no cost to Pulsebow, was now transferred at no cost to the Port of Kingston. There are several of us, Mary included, said we really want a sailing program in Kingston. So we worked hard in a very narrow window to start Sail Kingston Cove, and it was formed in 2015. So, in the past, Greg has talked to people on this side of the table, as well as probably some on that side of the table, that said that getting lease money from Sail Kingston Cove to the port is not a money-making operation. Sail Kingston Cove is not a money-making operation either. Right. The only way we survive is because of partners. We can't do everything. We know that. Port of Kingston, we recognize the port as a partner. Kingston Cove Yacht Club is a partner, and the community is a partner. Kingston Cove Yacht Club allows Sail Kingston Cove to use facilities basically any time that there is not a conflict with a club event, and that's all at no cost. That's been used for the youth sailing programs. High school sailing program. By the way, this is one of the chalk talks early on for the young sailors at the yacht club. High school team also uses it either for chalk talk or for strategy sessions. But we also use the yacht club for our annual barbecue where we invite sailors, parents, instructors, donors, etc. We also use that for our board meetings.
Jerry,
yes.
Can you clarify what chalk talk is?
Okay, let's go back one.
Sure.
And unfortunately, there's no chalk talk. But a new sailor comes in, they've got a boat and sails. Uh-huh. And so how do you get a boat to move? So the instructors go through, when the wind's coming this way, how to position the boat so that sail can start to pull the boat through the water.
Oh, okay.
So it's some of the fundamentals. Some sailing programs have actually built a STEM program around the concept of sailing. It's really very interesting, even from a mathematical standpoint, from a vector analysis, it works. So that's part of what the CHOP talks all about.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Community partnerships. From day one, the community's been involved with this operation. The first year, we had no money. The community kicked in money for operations, which is a very hard ask. They contributed over $15,000 for the startup, the operations. And since 2015 to the current, community has contributed over $67,000 for capital needs, sailboats and safety boats, etc. On a scholarship standpoint, we do between 10 and 11 scholarships a year. Most of the money comes from Kiwanis Club. They donate consistently for scholarships for kids that can't afford it. In addition to that, there are individuals that contribute. For instance, we know there have been situations where a parent will pay full fee for their own student, but they'll also kick in another full fee for a student they don't even know. So that's where the scholarship money comes from. Partnerships. The Port of Kingston. Everybody in Sail Kingston Cove thinks that, boy, the harbor master and the crew pay special attention to Sail Kingston Cove, more so than anybody else. Well, those of us that have boats in the marina understand that's not true. That's the norm. So the harbor master and the crew do an exceptionally good job, and I think it needs to be recognized. The other partnership is the float lease. And I'm going to get into that in a minute, but that float lease was decided in 2015 by a commission policy decision. And without that policy decision, Sail Kingston Cove wouldn't exist right now. So in 2015, Sail Kingston Cove was almost a one and done. And what was going on at that point in time was that we tried to start Sail Kingston Cove in a very small window of time with everything else going on around us. So that meant that we had to find instructors, find equipment, get the lease for the float. Everything was going on in parallel. So the board went out, got money from an investor from the community, started to hired someone to come in and help us organize it, and buying sailboats. In parallel, the port was trying to figure out what to do with that new float. And at that point, the port decided that there could be that pup float, I think it's 80 feet long, could be divided into 11 positions. And each position could be rented at $25 a month for sailboats, kayaks, paddle boards, jet skis, whatever it was they wanted to put on there. For 1 year, that would have cost us $3,300 in that first year. We were committed from a community standpoint. We said okay, but in the middle of that year, we realized that we had to scrape up more money just to pay that bill, and that 2016 would never happen. During that, the commission decided that that was not what the port wanted. And there was a policy decision at that point that said the fees, the lease for the float would be in fees, green cash dollars, and payment in kind. Now, what does payment in kind mean? It means that Sail Kingston Cove for with every opportunity would provide opportunities for creating goodwill for the port. And what we have done religiously since 2015 is that every chance we get, we recognize the port as a partner. There have been multiple grant applications. We have always identified the port as a partner. There have been presentations to granting organizations. I've made most of those. And when I recognize the port as a partner, I can see around the table, people are responding positively to that. So, and then also, when we host the high school regattas, or recognize the port as a partner, any presentation, and at the annual barbecue. Now, and we think that that's helping generate goodwill for the port. Now, as an aside, you know, we've done this since 2015, and as I look at the port's website and look at the items or the organizations that you have listed as partners, or nonprofits, businesses, restaurants, Sail Kingston Cove is not on there. Mm. And I don't want to, that's my point, is not to make a point out of that tonight, and I don't expect a response, but if there's a mismatch in terms of how we see each other, we need to talk through that. Mm-hmm. Also, another thing coming up is a new float. No, Greg's been working hard on that, and I think he's got it hidden in his garage someplace.
He wishes.
Doesn't know how to put it in the water. I think that's the problem. So when that new flow comes to fruition, there is going to need to be another policy decision. Mm-hmm. If you look at just the bare numbers, the numbers have been floating around 130,000 to 140,000. If you look at the most benign set of conditions, no inflation, no zero rate of return, a 30-year amortization, a monthly fee would kill, just to get to a break even, would kill us. There's a looming policy decision that's coming up. So that's one of the reasons why I did want to talk about that tonight. If we can go to the next. So that's kind of history. So where's Sail Kingston Cove going? We're in the process of updating our strategic plan. We have not been religious at doing that every year, but we are now in the process of doing that. So here are some of the things that are being kicked around. We haven't finalized it yet. So one of the things could be just expand the number of Learn to Sail sailors. So the problem we have right now is we're pretty much looking at capacity. So in order to expand the number of Learn to Sail sailors, we need to either have more space on the water or be able to figure out how to use it more efficiently. So that will be one thing we kick around. The other is expanding the programs. So right now we have OPTIs, we have FJs. We very well could be looking at expanding the programs into laser sails, sailboats, maybe even kick around the idea of having a fixed keel sailboat for those that want to go down the recreational route rather than the racing route, which is where most will go, is down the recreational route. We're also going to be looking at how we define marina and float needs. The other thing that's critical is growth of the board itself. Sally Fenton started a sailing program here, put her heart and soul into it, but that can only add energy lasts only so long. Paul's boat took on the sailing program for themselves. They are now backed out of it, so they've gone down. One of the goals that I personally have is the growth of this Sail Kingston Cove board so that we can maintain the focus and the enthusiasm for youth sailing in Kingston beyond the current players. So that becomes, I think, a task that's very important to me and very important to the board. So we'll be focusing in on that. So I appreciate the time. We'll walk down memory lane, kind of where we are now and where we see ourselves going. And I think the communication is very important. And getting back to that comment about the float, when you guys get to the point where you're looking at that policy decision, I hope that we can interact, Seal Kingston Code and the port can interact to see how can we optimize that for a win-win for both sides. I apologize for my voice, so I promise not to yell at anybody. So with that, if there are any comments or questions, more than happy to take them.
Thank you for doing this presentation, because I learned things
that this is really helpful. Yep.
So, and bringing up Anthony and Brendan, and you know, they're both my kids' ages.
Okay.
So, and I knew both of them. So it was, you know, it's a really small world.
It absolutely is, and you know, the enthusiasm of those guys was just shocking to me in terms of,
yes,
this was years ago that they were part of it, but they,
yes,
it was like yesterday to them.
Yes.
So, that to me, if we can do this, somebody else can do this in 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, to me that would be a real super, super success.
It will be, because they're both in their mid to late 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, yeah.
Totally. Let's see, that would make me 90.
I know.
Okay.
Wait, can I ask a question?
Sure, absolutely.
How much does a camp cost for, say, an 8 to 12 year old?
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, the current fee is a $275, and we wrestled.
And that's a week?
That's a five-day camp, 6 hours in each day.
What time do they start?
We have sessions with staggered start times, so okay, depending on what the course is, they either start at 9 and end at 3, or they start at 11 and end at 5. And that's one of those things Jerry mentioned about the efficiency of being able to increase our number of sailors we can accommodate while still maintaining the same space we have. We have to be able to stagger start, so we have to keep people out on the water at different times. Mm-hmm. And that's really one of the only reasons we've been able to kind of sustain our operations with it, while also growing our program in a safe way on the water.
By the way, that is something we learned through the COVID experience. We were one of the very, very few sailing programs that were active during COVID.
Yeah, he was telling us.
And survived. Most of them shut down. We put a lot of energy and thought into what is our COVID protocol, and the instructors and Liam exercised that religiously. And we, in that COVID year, we had nobody. Subsequent, though, you know, with COVID being everywhere, our instructors came down with COVID. Last summer, Liam had to do double and triple duty there at times. So that was another thing that I think recognized the strength of the board, that we put our heads together and said, you know, those kids need to do something in the summer. Mm-hmm. And rather than just sit home, and we're willing to put the effort out to make it happen. And Liam and his crew made it happen.
Those regattas have been absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, they're.
Just looking out on the water and seeing them all out there and watching them has just been absolutely spectacular.
Yeah. I would like to throw one thing in there while we're talking about that. What we're trying to do on the board as far as push up the regatta numbers, okay? You touched on the WISA, which is a Northwest
Interscholastic
Sales. That program reaches from all the way out of Port Angeles, Oak Harbor, Bellingham, all the way down to Olympia. Our boys, my boys, will be sailing next weekend on the Hood River down in a canyon. Okay, and if they qualify, they're going national.
Right.
So this is part of a big infrastructure that we're trying to plug Kingston into and maintain. You saw the confidence builders. We've got biomedical people in Holland.
They're all the same.
They're still gonna call this home. They're still gonna come back. Yeah. Okay, or at least that's what we're shooting for, correct? And I've seen it with my boys. My boys started out in the program at 7 or 8, and I got one headed for UW. This is a major conference book, and we include everybody we can. And the biggest piece of that is also our big handicap. We only charge $325 or $275 for camps. Okay, my boys are in racing now. It's a little bit more expensive, but we're trying to hold that line to where we could be inclusive. We can pull everybody in it. Now, we could be Bainbridge. We could charge $1,000 a head. My problem is we're not Bainbridge, okay? We're Kingston, and we got to keep a lot closer to the ground. And we do, but it's a partnership.
Yeah. And last year, with the inflation starting to kick in, the board spent a lot of time talking about fees. And we actually instituted, this is a Liam's suggestion, we actually instituted a program that I think the fee was $225, and if you registered early, you got a $25 or $50 deduction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're trying to be sensitive to the community, because they've given to Sail Kingston Cove a lot. We're trying to be sensitive, but on the other hand, we do have bills to pay. So it's a balance.
Yeah. And it's a wrestling match.
And you mentioned, you know, students that are reoccurring sailors throughout the summer. On top of that, they might be siblings. Mm-hmm. And so in one household, these kids could be attending 5-6 sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And that really adds up as you begin to charge per head. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things that we really work with our families on. I believe that the coolest thing about sailing in Kingston is that it does feel like an accessible program. You mentioned Bainbridge.
It is accessible.
Yeah, we have students that do camps in different places in Kitsap. Some of them do camps in Seattle. We have a lot of people that come across at Edmunds Ferry, not just because it's you know, beautiful here in Kingston, but because they want to be at our camp. And so there's kids that do Bainbridge camps, they do Kingston camps, and they still prefer the Kingston camps. And I think we need to hold on to that and find ways to sustain that.
Build on that.
Are all of the camp details on your website?
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and registration takes place through the website too. You know, any families that are looking for fun things to do in the summertime this season, they're still accepting.
And can you do donations through that website?
Yes. Well, currently we're in our April Great Give, the Kitsap Great Give window. I think that's ending right around the end of the month. So after that, we'll switch into our other donations. Hopefully, we'll get them there too.
Okay. Perfect.
Great.
So I had some comment. I was going to save it for public comment, but maybe we make more sense now. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I have two comments. First, it's a commercial, and it struck me as we took our grandkids down, and, you know, Liam's there, and Jared's the president, whatever, but to watch what happens, and I would encourage all of you to watch, and you have to come for the first 2 days, because on the first day, these kids have to jump in the water.
Mm-hmm.
They got a life jacket on, obviously, but they have to jump in the water, and they have to swim around the dock, around to the other side, where, yeah. But here are kids that they are, I mean, there's a few jellyfish in there.
It's cold.
And on the first day, maybe, I don't know, when I was there, it was kind of 80% of the kids jumped in. But there was 20%, and my grandson was one of them. I was like, oh my God. But you know what? The next day, these guys are so good, and to watch the instructors with the kids is so impressive. And he went. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had a great camp. But I think that what this does for kids is quite amazing, from a confidence building, a self-reliance, a little courage. I mean, these are life skills that it's hard to get these in a lot of places. And I think this program really builds that. And I think the instructors really have that ability to make that happen. No kid gets turned away by being stupid. You didn't jump over, you know? It's amazing the patience that they have. That's my commercial. Now, return the other hat to a resident of Kingston looking at commercial development, economic development, economic vitality. I'm absolutely blown away that we had a group of Kingston residents that came together and said, we're going to make this happen. And they did. They went from nothing to, 110, 120 kids
they're at capacity, they need more boats, they need, you know, more chase boats, they need more instructors, and they did this on their own, you know, just by their own passion, and they're successful. And I think from a community standpoint, this is the kind of thing that we all need to get behind and do what we can to make it successful. And you guys are obviously a big partner. The Yacht Club is a big partner. I'm not here speaking for the Yacht Club, but these two organizations really form kind of a couple of the legs of the stool to be sure that they're successful. So as a resident, I'm here saying to you guys, you know, the port, to say, think about your policy decisions as it relates to Sail Kingston Cove, and how does the port support this organization? And because this organization is supported, that we get other water-based entrepreneurs to come into the community. I mean, Kingston is really water. It's not really the sound, it's the cove. And this is what we're promoting. This is what's unique about Kingston. There's a lot of communities on Puget Sound or on other, you know, bays or whatever. They don't have a cove. And that's what's unique about us. And this program, all these kids start out in the cove, and then you see, it's just like, I don't know, but they're in the cove and they're kind of sailing around, and then all of a sudden, you see them all lined up and out they go, out into the big water. It's like Mama and her ducklings, you know? But it's just, it's amazing to see, and I think it's just such an asset. I'm a little biased, but I mean, truly speaking as a resident, and if you listen to the people that live on the cove, they love this. And I think it's a great asset for Kingston, and I think it's a great partnership for the port. And I think, you know, you guys are always looking, how do we be one with the community? This is a great opportunity to do that.
Thank you.
I promise I did not rehearse it.
No, I wrote it down all by myself.
I saw the strings.
Which way did it go?
Well, I appreciate this because I didn't know a lot about the history or Kingston at all.
It's really an amazing history in Kingston. And,
we,
those of us that started, felt that we really needed to build on that and maintain that in Kingston. And it's grown, and I'm very confident it's going to continue to grow. We need to figure out what the growing pains are and overcome those and move forward.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, very good. Now I'm going to sit down without
tripping. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, Liam. Thank you,
Rita. Yeah, thank you all.
Rita, she's not here.
She's here in spirit. Yes. So they're traveling to St. Louis right now.
Okay, so any other questions from the board concerning this program?
No, I just appreciate the presentation.
Well, we're going to turn our attention to the next discussion item, which is the commercial development meeting that you referred to this evening. And Greg, do you want to very briefly overview that?
Sure. So just recently, last week, the port, a week ago actually today, the port held another public meeting specifically to allow our contracted architectural firm, Wenzel Architects, to present a draft of the renderings for commercial development and along Washington Boulevard and the State Ferry Terminal. And we're going to be presenting the same material tomorrow night at the Village Green at 6:30. And we posted the drawings and the presentation on the port website. We're in the process of collating all the feedback, and we're going to collate the feedback from everywhere that we can get to. So, and that way people just see it. I usually ask for permission, though, if I'm going to take and quote anybody. If they send me an email, then it's public information, but I still ask them on a, you know, maybe, well, I didn't know that you were going to actually quote me. But I, if they're okay with it, I just put it out there almost verbatim what they're going to do. We're going to collate that information, and we'll post that on the website. We'll also try to give responses to those some of the questions that they have. We don't have it all collated for tomorrow. but we will get it subsequent to tomorrow's, you know, and we'll post as fast as we can. I'm also, you know, like I said, though, but I think there's a lot of information, and I want to thank people in the audience, too, because they responded on whether it be Facebook or Nextdoor.com, and they actually gave really great, coherent responses to some of the concerns or different, really, you know, really good questions people had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we were trying to make sure that we do a presentation, though, that answers the questions that most people are going to have before they ask them, but a lot of people, I was just really happy that people are getting engaged, and that the word was going out, because this is really, truly, it's going to, you know, we'll see how actually, you know, all the funding, you know, alternatives. We don't have the answers to all those things. Mm-hmm. But if the community is like, okay, this is the direction that we've wanted to go for many years now, this is, so we're following that path that you guys have already kind of laid out for years, and it seems to get reinforced every time that we take a look at it. So now we're in the process of moving. We're past planning. We're going into design. And we really appreciate the community support for that, just like we want to support Sail Kingston Cove. And I'll apologize, I took a spreadsheet of all the organizations that put them on the website, but obviously from the spreadsheet we're missing Sail Kingston Cove, which is not good, but we'll put that on there too. So, mm-hmm. But I do think that building that community is, and also having better communication, and I can improve on that, but we'll, I think having those messages come out from people within the community actually is almost as or more valuable than us communicating mm-hmm. it. So I really appreciate that. Yeah. That's really critical.
Definitely. I want to thank you in particular. Because when things are said on Facebook, we make it a habit not to respond, because then it creates...
Right.
We can't do it. We're recommended by legal counsel. Don't respond. Don't engage. It becomes a public record. Then you have to send it over to the board, and it has to become part of every. And it just creates this horrible
yep.
role that doesn't stop. And so I so appreciated the comments that were made by you and by Ron and yeah. by Tim. And I mean, there was someone else. There was another woman that, I mean, there were people that just covered exactly what I would have said, which was so beautiful. And to see if we're actually going to print those up so that those can also be collated with the other questions and, you know, a part of it, because it's really important. There's lots of questions out there, and we want to make sure those questions are answered. But I really want to thank you for jumping in, you and Tim and Ron and whoever else responded.
It was
yes.
a lot of
it was amazing.
And if I see it, I've asked people if you could, if you're willing to forward it to the like email, because of public records. See, mm-hmm. that's the problem with social media mm-hmm. for us, because it creates all of a sudden it explodes on you, and then you have no controls.
Right.
So I've just reached out and asked people, hey, would you be willing to send that to me in an email? Since it's not flaming stuff or something that might just go off, but something anything constructive. It's like, so we hear that those concerns, because those are they're really like valid concerns. They're really insightful, and if they have that question, we know that many people are going to have the same question.
We don't need the one about putting in a new road.
Yeah, for instance,
yeah, some are.
That one we don't need.
Outside of school.
No hands.
Not our road. Not our area of expertise.
No.
Sure.
But so if. Other than that, I didn't have a whole lot, but if there's any discussion amongst the commission that you guys wanted to...
I thought it was a really constructive meeting. It was well presented. Mm-hmm. Charlie just has a way of talking that, you know, makes you want to melt in your chair. And he just, you know, he covered the bases. He answered the questions, and you answered the questions. And it was really, I thought it was very informative.
Mm-hmm.
People gave such wonderful input and mm-hmm. ideas, and mirrored a lot of the things that we have said,
mm-hmm.
and it was just, I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. I really thought it was great.
But it is a draft. So this is definitely, so that's the other thing, we were kind of,
a work in progress.
It's hard when you see
yep.
it, you take it literally, you know, when you see something and they put a rendering out there that seems very realistic, but it is a draft, and so it's going to evolve. The other thing is, I just want to make sure to manage expectations, because when you go get an anchor tenant, they're going to want to have something to say about it. And also, it depends on the range and when you're funding things. The more use someone else's money, the more say they're going to want to have in how that money is spent, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just, so when we get out to there and you're talking to anchor tenants, and I'm not going to discuss when I'm negotiating with anybody what we're discussing.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
I think that sometimes it's a little awkward for me to be in a public session. People want to know, you know, who have you reached out to. I'm not going to necessarily. It comes out ultimately in the wash. You know, everything becomes public record once you're done with it. But you know, they want confidentiality when you're talking.
Yeah, it's negotiation confidentiality. It's super important.
But we have to get about a 20% design to start to really represent it and be able to market it. And then we're going to go through the financial alternatives. And the range really is all the way from almost from zero, where it's a land lease, all the way up to completely publicly funded. And there's a number of different options out there, but we have to have a concept first that we can go apply for these things. You can't go off of rendering. It's not going to get you enough to be able to apply for anything. So there are some pretty good options out there, and we'll see once we cross that bridge. But the other thing we had to have was our audit completed to be able to go out to explore any funding options. So we had a three-year audit that they went back, and we had no findings. And I want to really recognize Audra and Stacy Hebert. They just did such a superlative job, and they went back not only 3 years and redid and reconciled every single transaction pretty much, but they went back before and actually recovered funds from the state. We'll get another over $170,000 back, but there won't be any clawbacks going forward. So building up cash reserves, we found all we can. But you know, I think it was over $250,000 that they've been able to recover just as...
that's awesome.
And that's amazing. Yeah, it's really a good job. Thanks to you and Stacy, really. They did the public a good service there. That was awesome for the board. So that's where we're at. You know, we have we don't have the reserves necessary, but we're building those reserves, and then also you got to reinvest in capital assets that do set the table for the future. So.
I think one of the things that was not apparent when we were going through the presentation, but came out in the questioning, was the whole issue of finishes, that they weren't trying to sell a particular finish. They haven't gotten there yet. But I think a lot of the comments that we heard will guide that. And, so.
What do you mean the finishes, the style?
The building treatment. It looks like a white building with lots of hard windows.
Yeah, it looks very modern.
Yeah,
it doesn't fit the Kingston design standards whatsoever.
Yeah. But treatments will soften that.
Because Kingston is really special. I mean, it's because it reminded me when I saw it. It reminded me a lot of what they did on downtown Bremerton. Mm-hmm. You know, with the convention center and that whole feel. Didn't it look a lot like that?
Exactly.
Because we're from the Kids at Credit Union and saw all of that come about and. That's what reminded me of it. For Kingston, it seems a little bit, you know,
stark.
Exactly.
Too
modern. But I will say that the architects are the experts.
Oh, they are.
When they go to, when you talk about design standards, and all this is building towards a pre-app meeting with the county, we've also are doing an awful lot of due diligence on all the utilities to be able to ensure, because I know that a lot of utilities were put in a long time ago. So looking at the capacity also for complete build-out, transitions towards EV, the marina for putting in electrical, for example. We have to put in fire suppression, all of these things. So, but that work has never really been done. So now we have a complete survey of all of those assets other than North Beach. It's all been surveyed by a civil engineering firm. You can see all the locates. That's all the paint that you see on the ground out there. So they did all the locates on everything. And then we're marching through with KPUD, PSC, Kitsap County to do all the due diligence for the site work. We got a geotech, we have to get on board, but we know there's gonna be, it's an liquefaction zone to some extent, but we're gonna do all the homework where we have to fill in some of these gaps of knowledge and then also put a dollar value to it. But they're significant questions we have to answer.
Yeah,
we're going through all that and then we'll do the financial.
And one of the things that I liked that you shared, I don't know if you shared it that night, but you certainly shared it with us, is that that analysis of all of the utilities and the land side will be shared with businesses.
Right. Yeah,
they'll have to deal with some of those issues as well.
And I think that would really help certainly a lot of the people in the UBC to have some of that information put out there, and you have to relate the devils in the details on how to get those services to their parcels, but mm-hmm. it might be that we end up having to roll some of that cost in ultimately, you know, to the development, mm-hmm. but they'll benefit from it. It's like bringing a road, you have the house at the end of the road, they have to bring the road to your house, well then everybody along that gets the benefit of that. So I hope that that's but I think it'll be really important that we do, you know, and I know you, the commission wants this, we want public support, we want people to stand up and say we do agree with this, because you do sometimes, it depends, the loudest voice might be not necessarily really representative mm-hmm. of the 6,998 residents in our board district. So that's important. So that's why we really appreciate when you guys stand up and say, hey, and you're articulate and constructive. So that's, I think that's even more important.
Mm-hmm. And you're right about Charlie and Wenzel. One of the reasons they were selected was of the completed jobs they had finished that were all kinds of different designs. I mean, just really talented and could fit into any kind of scheme. Mm-hmm. And they really stood out with that.
They stood out.
The different designs they could come up with and the concepts and just.
And they keep delivering projects even during COVID.
Yeah.
Unlike a lot of people haven't really delivered. When COVID started, it almost came to a stop. So.
Yeah.
And not in Kitsap County.
Staff did a wonderful job of choosing them.
Yeah, we had a very laborious.
That. You guys did a fabulous
very
job.
Very laborious process. Thank you. And it mm-hmm. was very exciting and learned a lot. And I will say that Wenzel, you know, I feel very comfortable with that choice.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think one thing I liked is about Charlie is that I watched Olympic Property Group had a proposal on Bainbridge that. The first meeting, people hated it. And by the time they were done with a series of meetings, it was an entirely different proposal. And they sold it to OPG, and in turn, the community loves it. So, yeah, and that's yeah. what I really wanted to have.
Any comments? Are we waiting for public comment? Or? It just kind of seems like it's in the conversation, and then you wait, and it's kind of, but I'm happy to wait.
I want to see if Steve has anything he wants to say.
To be honest, I was just actually blown away by the response from the audience, to be honest. And then at the end, you know, a round of applause, too, would
right.
just really kind of
okay.
said it all about how, you know, we've described this as being, you know, step one, really. In a multi-step process that I think is explained well enough that people really are going to understand, hey, this is a work in progress, but the behind the scenes work as well, and with the commission as well, talking about the things we really needed to do that no other commission had done previously, not to disparage them, but the idea that we had to examine the zoning, and that was the ultimate thing for really kind of first steps. And so that zoning review and those critical components of asking for that zoning variance to have, you know, basically the property, you know, reestablished for the urban village center was really key. So
and our comp plan. Updating our comp plan.
And
so
the comp
we
plan.
Discuss these
comp
things.
Plan that went with
a lot of
absolutely. Yep. Yep. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know I've heard lots of comments about we don't need a hope. We've done those studies, right? But the Rotaries work with is it Rotary or Kiwanis that Clint Boxman is working.
Rotary.
Okay. I'm right. On the whole concept of a multi-acre sports
mm-hmm.
arena, that's going to bring, A, that's going full steam ahead and making lots of progress, and that's going to bring enormous numbers of people who'll be here for a couple of days for tournaments and stuff like that. And it's, I think it's we're going to see a lot of change over the next couple of years.
And Sail Kings and Coves concepts of having more regattas and those kinds of things. They're going to need places to stay, you know, that type of thing. It's just that, I think that we get that, definitely. And that's what we want to do what we can to contribute, you know, to that. That whole effort and have, you know, this town be revitalized.
Right. Sure. Really. Be about the community.
Yeah.
That comment that you made, legs of the stool.
Mm-hmm. That was good, Nancy. Yeah.
Wow, I wrote that down. That is just, I mean, we're all, I say get shivers when I say it. We're all legs of that stool.
Mm-hmm. I wrote that down too.
You do?
I did.
I circled it. I wrote it down, put a star by it. And
I did the same thing.
Be one with the community.
Absolutely.
Circle too.
Yep.
So we good to move on?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, third item for discussion is the economic development policies for the comprehensive plan. And we've put a lot of effort into a piece of the comp plan that's never been there for Kingston, and trying to make sure that it really grabs what the county needs to be dealing with addressing for us, as well as a lot of significant input into the transportation component. And again, Greg, do you want to overview that?
Yeah, so the Ports and Mills, we focus mainly on economic development transportation, because that's really our primary focus. But we reviewed all the KCAC documents ongoing and support, you know, they had a lot of, they've done a lot of hard work. So we really, but out of all of the, you know, we're not really focused on housing. This is really, if you look at RCWs, what the ports do is economic development. We do public access, which is actually part of Sail Kings and Cove, for example. And then you do transportation and job creation. So, and tourism. So, regarding the buildable lands analysis and the definition of the UGA, the Port Commission, just in discussion with no formal vote, but they recommend expansion of the UGA boundary, certainly to include lands further out toward Jefferson Beach and Indianola. Also, the UGA could extend up further up towards Lindbaugh and north, but that has not seen much support from PCAC. Also, the county agreed that the phase two portion of Arborwood development will be included in the UGA, and its exclusion was really an oversight to begin with. So I would guess, I would characterize the KCAC adjustments to the UGA, which you can see in the alternative 2 and 3, I would characterize what the county is willing to entertain as more surgical, parcel by parcel, much more minimal adjustments to the UGA, though I want to make the point, I don't speak for you guys, but I think there was a overall, it would be nice if the UGA was expanded and encompassed a lot of other area out there so that those people living out in those residences get covered by the services, the level services that we all come to expect.
Yeah.
So, but that's not being necessarily embraced at KCAC or by the county, certainly at this point. So I don't think that we're pushing that forward, but I think that was a general feeling that's put forward. The current county UGA adjustments, though, you can see them, they're pretty modest, and there's a handful of parcels really that they are looking for consideration outside. The one big that's pretty substantive is that phase two from the Arborwood. The primary concern we hear about the Ports Economic Development Proposal, which we have we've submitted to the county as a draft, we submitted to KCAC, is that a few of the landowners, or also developers, have strongly disagreed that any property in the downtown UVC or Urban Village Center should have a storefront zone. They had that rolled back in 2018, so everything could be potentially residentially developed. And the Ports proposed a storefront zone from the ferry terminal west heading out of town for approximately 1,000 lineal feet, which is about the distance up to Coffee Oasis. So originally in our original proposal, we said, hey, for under consideration, at least all parcels that were along 104 and Main Street.
Yep.
But after the feedback from the public meetings we've had, and then further discussion, said, okay, well, at least the 1,000 feet through Coffee Oasis, and have it 25 feet deep and only on the face of the Main Street and 104 to Coffee Oasis. So it's those two roads, Main Street and First, which is West Star 104, from the ferry terminal to Coffee Oasis. And can it be only the only requirement, first floor only, and it would be only 25 feet deep required on those parcels. But that still is strongly disagreed with by people that have done development in the area and that are developers. Outside of that, we've talked about, we don't necessarily, the county actually came up with, but we do support if they wanted to increase the height limit to 55 feet, but only if they put some component of retail on the first floor. As it stands, if you do build a hotel, though, you can go to 50 feet. The documents, just so people know, I don't think they're aware of this, the county documents do not reflect the change in the height limits once the Port property was changed in the zoning from neighborhood commercial to urban village center for the Mike Wallace Park parcels. So those are actually not neighborhood commercial anymore. They have granted that rezone to urban village center, so they can go to 45 feet. And if your hotel is 50. I think the other thing that we wanted to put forward was we really feel the parking requirements should be relaxed even further from what they are for commercial development, and maybe have 2 per 1,000 square feet of development. We had put forward a proposal and discussed with Eric Baker at the county to get the tax money that's paid in the Port District and take $2.5 million of it every year and have it reinvested back in Kingston for infrastructure. He said that's basically a non-starter, but maybe there's some lower amount, but it would really make a big difference if you say you have it dedicated for, let's say, 5 years or 10 years, you have a dedicated amount that goes to the infrastructure. So let's say the sidewalks, the county, you know, they have design standards. So maybe that infrastructure, just go towards infrastructure, ideally, but that would really, I think, really take a big burden away from anybody to develop. So for like stormwater, for example, to comply with that. So those are the primary, I think,
possibly a staff person.
Okay. Oh, and then the permitting. So permitting has just got in every aspect of our lives. Permitting has become unbelievable. So, but at the county, what I've experienced it. It is really helpful if you do, you know, put a contact at the county or have a team that expedite the permitting. There is an expedited fast-track permitting team. You can pay to get that done. But I think there might be an alternative where even the Port funds half of the FTE. And their priority is Kingston first. For any of the permits that come across there, expedited, they have to have some decision-making authority, ideally, so that, and they can, you know, get that information, get the team, because it's done as a team at the county.
Yep.
And then that permitting would get priority first. And then they could spend any other time on all the other permitting in the county that's needed according to normal. But if we we put our money where our mouth is and we actually help fund it half of an FTE or something along that line. But if they would put together a team and just try it, I think there's arguments against it, which are, hey, if you do it for Kingston, you got to do it for everybody. But I think that Kingston is kind of a unique UGA. It's a high transit capacity, a high capacity transit center, and it's just a, it's a different animal, really, than when you look at some of the other, you know, whether it be Lamberts or UGAs. Kingston's kind of special, and you have 4 million people going through here. It just needs to feel some attention, and it's one of the great, but it should be controlled growth, because you're going to get growth, so why not really control it and be proactively manage it through a stronger permitting. They could also reduce permitting fees. They could do things along that line too. But I haven't heard from some of the landowners or developers, you know, what specifically, I've asked them kind of what specifically would you like to see, but we felt like we could ask the county, hey, you can do an expedited permitting, you can put something together to try to get people to get the permitting, either lower cost, but time is money, and time kills projects. Mm-hmm. So to me, if I was a developer, I would really love it if you could just say, I need to get priority first here, and get it done, get your permit. That alleviates a lot of uncertainty, which is a killer for financing any kind of development. And also just time, stretching it out, like Rick Lanning brought up, for example, mm-hmm. that's very hard. Mm-hmm. So I guess those were the primary part of the components that we thought were something that the county could really, they wanted somewhat prescriptive. They asked us to be somewhat prescriptive. Rob Gelder met with us with Eric Baker early on and said, we want to know specifically. So we are interested in the dialogue that you guys have been with the stakeholders and other people, and I've asked Dave Wetter and people, give us specifics if you can. And he did do, they did a line item, edit on previously in 18. Got to go through that same process potentially, and what's the next phase? What do we want to get here to get things done?
If you can think of any other incentives that can be thought of for us to ask for, especially to help our local developers, I mean, it's huge. I mean, they need some incentives in order to get their projects done, and we've come up with what we can. Yeah, Jerry.
Craig has recognized this in the past. The tax revenue, property taxes, is pretty minimal. But that could also be used as an incentive, as a statement from the port. For instance, if there's a new business or a new building coming into play, the port, I'm not sure how you do that, but could have a tax holiday for taxes that come to the port. From a loss of revenue standpoint, it would almost be insignificant to you guys. But it would make a statement to developers and say, hey, the port is behind this as a new developer or a new business.
What's our total property tax revenue?
240, I think.
$220 something.
The only issue with that is that it kind of opens up the door for the whole legal aspect of giving something away.
We have to do a referendum.
You could?
We would have to do a referendum.
Governments do that all the time.
They always say, ask the lead. Our attorney always says, don't say you can't do it, ask me how you can do it.
Right.
So, but it would send a message. It's one way to do it, for sure.
Wow. Good suggestion.
Go on. That was Nathan.
Who's Nathan?
Yeah, who?
I'll tell you later. I had an email from him, so I'll.
Oh, okay.
I think he worked with the Sun.
But I think, whether it be. I mean, the thing is, you need the money to, you want it to be spent and focused. So if you are going to pay taxes, and you see it's spending to be focused in order to be able to prompt new development, that's one way. It's a redistribution. You could say, if we're going to say, no tax, we're going to reduce your taxes. That just reduces the revenue. But does that really? We, unfortunately, are so minimal for what we collect on that. It's going to be, it would be symbolic, I agree, but what does the developer want? Does the developer want, if I were a developer, I know permitting's a killer, I know that the parking requirements are brutal, and the county, some of the planning really should take place at the county level, but then the port, we could also, these are things we didn't ask for them, but we would just do it, we would have to do a planning exercise on doing parking or some of those things, which we'd have to do a traffic study for our development. But you could expand that out a little bit further.
Yep.
But the WSDOT grant was the first effort, really, because now you have the model that segues into their planning.
Correct.
Into their model, their actual model that they use for traffic.
Yep.
Other comments? Okay. Is this online, Jen?
The packet?
No, it's not online. We could put it online if, so it's always been in a draft form, if the commission wants.
Why don't we do at our next work session?
Discuss it, and if you want, you can.
Finalize it.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I was gonna ask you at some point if you want to make a motion to, or by resolution, say we're adopting these recommendations.
Yeah.
But since they seem to be evolving potentially every day.
I think a work session to do some refinements.
Yeah.
And then get to a product where we actually have a special meeting about it, that type of thing, I think would be.
It's not 100%.
Yeah.
There's issues with it.
Yeah. Well, other things we've talked about before too, and I don't want to belabor the meeting, but one thing that was brought forth is the idea of incentives. What kind of incentives would be helpful for developers? One thing, maybe the idea of, they're smaller cars now. So is there a way to encourage smaller cars or charging stations or that type of thing that would, provide an incentive for developers where there's less room taken for those parking spaces? And then some of the other ideas would be, parking agreements, with other developers in the area as well. Doing a parking agreement can help reduce those parking costs. And then third, reducing the number of parking spaces required, because at this point, a two-bedroom apartment, they're required to have two spaces. So with the idea of car share or things like that, where, hello, we are this transportation hub, it's been designated, the Puget Sound Regional Council has said, you shall be, Kingston, you are you are this hub designation. And so with that idea, people should be able to then develop with less of the requirement if people are indeed, having transit. So the idea of transit passes and things like that has happened in Silverdale. And so why shouldn't we, also incorporate that here? Silverdale has a transportation component in relation to buses and Kitsap Transit, but we have that ability now with the Kitsap Transit's passenger-only ferry to be able to get people, safely to and from where the big city jobs are, I think. So
because we have a lot of parking capacity, so depending on how you allocate that parking capacity, they could say if you're within this radius of development, certainly in the UBC, would ideally you could have ride share, car share on port property. They don't have to spend 50, 60, 70 grand to develop a parking spot. They have a car share that they get an allocation that they get the parking credit for on port property. Right? So that alleviates a big expense for them, or at least alleviate some of that pressure on the developers.
Yep.
So, and that would then give them actually more capacity for more people to be walkable, to live downtown.
Yes.
In that area for residential development.
Exactly.
To achieve the GMA and all the other goals that the county has. And I'm sensitive to the county, and I know we are, that they're under a lot of pressure that if they don't meet these goals, all of a sudden then the state could be very difficult in terms of when they go to get grant money from them or other types of allocate appropriations. They could say, you're not meeting your GMA goals. Mm-hmm. And they're putting pressure on the county pretty aggressively. So that's where some of this is coming from the county. And I'm sympathetic.
Yeah. I guess I want to make a comment about that, because it's really easy to demonize them. And the fact is, we talk a lot about we have to achieve these goals. The growth is coming. And what the State Growth Management Act and the Puget Sound Regional Council and the KRCC, Kitsap Regional Council, what they're all looking at is how do you support the growth that is indeed coming. And they didn't make those numbers up. And so, I'm sensitive to defining it or describing it as we have to achieve the population goals. No, we have to accommodate it. And we have to accommodate it with basically some level of densification that recognizes that we don't want to sprawl. I mean, the whole point of GMA was to not sprawl the beauty of this county. And I get frustrated with what the requirements end up looking like to do it. Not because we were told we had to, but because they're hard.
Yeah.
And I've spent a lot of time struggling with that whole set of issues, and I actually have a lot of appreciation for what all of the growth-oriented people, planners, are trying to accomplish. They're trying to keep this county and this state what we love. And it's hard, and we don't like it. So there we are, Jared.
And going back to the concept of incentives, you're really focusing on the developer at this point. But there's another problem, and that is the new businesses. Now, if you look back 5 years, 6, 7 years,
nice,
and look at how many businesses that have come to Kingston and survived a two-year window,
mm-hmm,
very, very few.
Mm-hmm.
I can only think two or three. And I don't know what you have in your weaponry for incentivizing new businesses coming in. The property taxes would go to the landowner, and that would be minimal. But I don't know what levers you have available, but if there's a way to incentivize new businesses coming in, I think that would be another big step forward for the port to get into.
I've been in conversation with the Kitsap Economic Development Alliance,
mm-hmm,
which has paid more or less attention to Kingston over time, but they're pretty excited about collaborating with us on that kind of question.
Perfect.
You know, so I love to hear you say that. Thank you.
We actually have a program that they were talking about at the breakfast that was specifically for
yes,
taking care of new businesses.
Right.
So that would be a really...
Yep, James Davis and I were going to
figure out... Yeah, I wrote down some of the things about
how we could customize that to Kingston.
Yeah.
They have a very intense focus exhaustive focus on preparing your business plan, because it's necessary for investors and for understanding what's going to happen financially. But the program isn't really oriented to, do you have any idea what you're getting into when you start a new business? And I think that needs to be a component. So we're having some exciting conversations.
I just found some of my notes. They said that 3,000 businesses are eligible to sign up for this program, and only 18 had signed up.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
It was just, yeah. So it's a program that's out there that KEDA's heavily involved in,
mm-hmm,
and
yeah,
we
good.
Should look more into that.
Yeah, so Kate Junkus and I from Stakeholders Group, mm-hmm, are also planning on meeting with Morrison about this very topic, so maybe we can...
It's Jim Davis is the one who's the focal point for it.
Okay, so we were going to meet...
Morrison will talk with you.
With Joe, but yes, so we need to kind of chat to see who...
Basically,
because we're interested in that as well, and what kind of alliance we can build with KEDA.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a different ball game now that John is gone, so we have
yeah.
to kind of recreate the Kingston
well,
picture.
When,
and
when I got to talking with Jim Davis about it, he got so excited, and he said, you know, we can get money for you. And I said, oh, count me in. You know, so I think we can maybe do some good things.
It was a shared work program that they were talking about.
Shared
yeah.
work, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And I think we need to do the financial report.
Everybody's favorite part. I'm Audra Traynor, by the way. I'm the finance director for Kingston. And auditor. So just going over the quarterly March 2023 P&L, our operating revenues are at $617,847.
We had budgeted $633,182, so we have an unfavorable variance of about $15,000. However, I just wanted to go over a couple of things that are going on with PERT 1. This is our off season, and when one thing that we know that we need to focus on is the guest and seasonal voyage, getting more people in outside of just the yacht clubs coming to visit. So we've talked over a lot of strategies and different things that we can do to get our presence out there and what we can offer. But I know the service is exceptional already, and it's beautiful, but I think the things we're talking about with this economic development is going to help with that too. We know that we need to grow and have some other things for boaters to do here. And we have some ideas that we will hopefully bring to fruition. The other thing for the reason why this variance is there is because of just an accounting change that we had on lease accounting, which the rental properties that we have, we cannot have all the principal and interest post into the operating income. It's just principal, so there's some of it offsets, and if you take that out of the picture, we're actually positive. So I don't want to put a lot of emphasis on that. Parking is really turning around. We're doing better on parking, and Rose, one of our operations coordinators, has gone through the whole parking program and really just looked at that and has made some improvements there. So some things that we're we really want to focus on outside of seasonal guest moorage and the parking is events and how we can be more profitable in the events and maybe put on some events ourselves for the Port of Kingston, mm-hmm. You know, be the ones to initiate that. The total operating expenses are $618,827 year to date. So we obviously need to, increase the margin there to make some income. So right now we're at a loss for the year. Before depreciation of $42,000. That's close to in line with budget, because we knew that this time of year is slower, and we see most of our income coming between May 1st and end of October, which is the peak season. And so it's expected. And when you look at our balance sheet, we have our cash and equivalents is at $2.5 million. We do have an outstanding LTGO bond for almost $700,000. So net cash and equivalents after all debt and everything else is about $1.7 million. Mm-hmm. So you look at that and you think, how are we going to afford a building, right? Well, there's a lots of ways we could do it, and you can bet we're going to be pulling everything in the arsenal to make that happen. As Greg said, we went through the audit and did a lot of cleaning up, a lot of decisions and things from the past, we just kind of have to live with. But it's the team that we have, the commissioners that we have, the community behind us. I think that we can make this happen. It was very, very, like I said, good to see the community behind us, and there's a lot, that's work to be done, but we're excited to do it. The staff and the commissioners are so behind this, and the excitement is pretty cool to see. So as far as expenses, there's a lot of things. So we have a very old marina system, marina software system, and accounting system. And we weren't ready to make the move prior to now,
because we just had some cleanup to do and just kind of get our bearings. But we will be transitioning over because we know that, you know, some of these other marinas, oh, they can pay online or do online payments and all of this stuff. It's like we need to get ourselves into the 21st century. And so we are now looking for a new software vendor, which will allow for better marketing, better, you know, interaction with the users, make it easier to reach out to people who have stayed, you know, as a guest in the marina, just to get more people in here. And it'll allow us to use all those tools for different marketing and targets and things like that, where now everything is so manual. It's really hard for staff to get, you know, other than Ray, who is awesome, you know, he gets on the phone and makes his calls, but, you know, we need more than that, and we recognize it, and we will get there, so.
If we look at other ports and other marinas, mm-hmm. they'll do thousands and thousands more of guest nights, but sometimes it's just the ease of being able to conduct business.
Yeah.
And we are just so kind of used to doing things much more manually. So, and then the software wasn't really upgraded. So we just know that will be, you don't want to just keep adding headcount in order to be able to cover a lot more ground. And it really, that doesn't add a lot of value to the boater or customers. They want to have ease of transaction. Then you can focus on actually trying to help them have a great experience. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's where I think Ray and the staff, they excel.
Yes.
And, but, you know, doing the actual transaction, you know, a lot of people, they want to be able to mobile app too. And a lot of those software, I tried out a whole bunch of them. I was just curious. And their mobile apps don't work or they're not very good. But you can book a campsite at the state park like nothing. Mm-hmm. So something's wrong. I mean, we know we can do better, but, you know, it's a progress. You know, we have to kind of, you know, we had to get through this audit and get a lot of things put in place. But
yeah.
And I don't think it's going to be like a huge dollar amount that it's not going to be, you know, a big deal.
Not ongoing, no. And it'll pay for itself. Because, for example, one thing that is killing us is our credit card fees.
Yeah.
Because we don't offer ACH. We don't offer, online payment. Everything is through an automated credit card. And those fees are exceptionally high, especially with one of our merchant services. They did a new fee schedule, and surprise, in March it doubled. So last November it doubled, and I'm like, what are all these fees? Oh, risk assessment. You know, they just slip them in, and so it has doubled since I've been here. So now it costs about $9,000 a month just for office stuff. That's stuff that we should be able to clean up, and with this software and all of the other partnerships and contracts that we have out there to really do our shopping and make sure we're getting the best deal for the port and for mm-hmm. the community. It's our job to do that.
Yep.
So
I'd like to go back to the whole question with the comment that you're looking at activities for boaters to enjoy themselves. And I wanted to suggest that you approach Nancy Langland, mm-hmm. who's been thinking about that kind of stuff for many years and is quite knowledgeable, to be part of that conversation.
That'd be great.
If
you're someone.
Volunteer for that.
We love to
but
talk about, you know.
She's already, I mean, the thing is, a lot of this has already been thought through so thoroughly, and it's really execution. I hate to say, but the inspiration has been there for years and years. Like, mm-hmm. even the stakeholders, I looked at there's just been so many really such good work, and the concepts are fundamental. So, but we'll definitely reach out to you. And actually, I've already read through a whole bunch of some of your work in the North Kitsap marketing.
Yeah.
And I think marketing our services, but we aren't positioned like with our software.
Not
they
yet.
Don't have any way to reach out to our voters and our customers hardly. They didn't have like phone numbers or email. So, and you don't want to be burdensome, but there's times when it's like, hey, they would really love to come here. So I think, but for sure we'll reach out to me. Yeah.
And I would add the chamber to that.
And the chamber.
Because again, it's getting the nucleus of folks, because we're not short on ideas.
Right. And we can't do it ourselves.
It's execution and volunteers.
Yeah.
To do it. Volunteers, it's the labor that is the number one issue.
And the chamber has the same issue.
Exactly.
They're putting, they're going to adopt a new software because just getting a simple email out is not simple. But no, 100%, we got great people. Thanks. I appreciate that.
So this is the moment for any additional public comment on topics that may or may not be on the agenda.
So I'm going to take you back. back on the meeting tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Mike not talking. I have some data, but not a whole lot of data. It seems like we're in a sweet spot right now. And people are looking at this commercial development, not saying, not now, never, get it out, I don't want to hear it. If you look at like the comments on Facebook and the comments that I've heard from various people, it's like, okay, but what about this?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then you say, okay, but if they're saying okay first, rather than just saying, not now, never, don't ever change that part, I'm not hearing a lot of that. So I think this is the time, and I would expect there to be more people tomorrow night than there were at the meeting first time. I would expect there to be a lot more diversity of opinions and some stronger opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie's done pretty well at being able to, I mean, even the affordable housing, he could connect that to his personal his beliefs and what he's doing in that arena, and then be able to field that question. So he's been very good at that, but I think that expectation needs to be set. And mostly what I'm hearing is, well, those buildings don't belong here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a much better question to have than, why are you doing that?
Right.
Don't mess with our park.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a manageable question.
Right.
So I think the comments that were about, can it be more organic? Let's bring in the water, you know, the brand, all that kind of stuff. All those comments were very positive because they were taking your position and making it theirs.
Right.
Contributing.
So, yeah. If we, you know, you can continue to cultivate that. And I do really believe that, you know, looking at those buildings, they were very stark, they were very modern, and there's very little landscaping. And that's not how it's going to be in the end, but it was hard because that's, you know, what people saw.
Right.
Once they got beyond the fact that, oh my God, there's going to be buildings in Mike Wallace Park.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're not taking away from the park.
Right.
But you're really enhancing.
And increasing it.
Exactly.
The size.
And to be able to say, oh, we've increased the size of the park.
Yes.
Right.
So, you know, that's all good. But I think the meeting tomorrow night is going to be much different than you were talking to a bunch of people that were already pretty economically, developmentally focused. So I think this was going to be more of the, it'll just be different.
Yeah.
And I think Charlie built trust in at least me and some other folks in the stakeholders, because when he met with us originally, we had some pretty, at least I did, you know, firm positions about what needs to happen, and that you cannot wall off Mike Wallace Park from the downtown, and you cannot wall it off from our businesses and those kinds of things. And it, it is, you know, I think originally that wasn't maybe part of his thinking, but he integrated that and he came back with a plan that was very doable from that perspective. So he's building trust in that he listens. So I think the more he can take this feedback and come back to the community and show, I listened, that will be,
absolutely,
you know, move things forward. There were also some very key influencers on Facebook. I'm not sure how many of you know people in the community, but there were a few people on there that they're very vocal, and I think they'll be there tomorrow night. I think we were able to put some different perspectives on that thought, but I think you're still going to get some pretty challenging questions from some key influencers in the community that are not so economically
inclined,
developmentally inclined. So I'll go back and look at my on the whole economic development part of the plan. Again, I have not been optimistic about this forever, but you know, for the first time, I feel like we have got the key folks in Kingston talking to each other. We don't all agree yet, but we're all talking, and I just really encourage the board to stick with it, and let's try to come to some agreement how we can speak with one voice. Mm-hmm. When we go to the county, that one voice is so important. And there's the guy that started the whole one voice thing, and I'm just echoing his, I mean, he was talking about transportation. Now we're talking about economic development. So try to come together. And, you know, I'm not involved, and I know how hard it is, but try to come together and get one voice to go back to the county.
And that's going to be particularly important now when we're going to have a new commissioner.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We got somebody else to train. Somebody else introduced to Kingston. You know?
Did you see the list?
I've heard the list.
If that were to be shared, would that go into the minutes, or can you share the
list? It's actually their website. It's
on the website. It's on, yeah. You can go to the county website, and there's a... kind of a click-on link of the Democratic Party's list, and they have an official list. There's 11 people.
11? Oh.
But they're going to narrow that down.
They'll narrow it.
We'll send it to you.
Before they give the numbers to the commissioners,
yeah,
they're going to narrow that down to three?
What I understand, yeah. That's okay. Typical.
But they started at 14, you said?
And several people have dropped out.
Yeah.
Seasonal guest mortgage, when you think about that.
Did you put your name in?
We've got all the yacht clubs, and we're all working together on that, and that's pretty successful for both the board and for the yacht club, and we will continue to do our part, even though I can't speak for the yacht club. But you know, one of the real assets is that you can tuck into the port, stay, and go on.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You can't go into Paulsbo. You can't talk into Paulsbo. Mm-hmm. That is, you got to make a commitment, and you got to go all the way in there and come all the way out.
Yep.
The same with Bremerton, Port Orchard.
Yeah.
Edmonds is that way, but they're so much more expensive than we are.
Yeah.
So that's a real asset when you think about writing your marketing stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good, Nancy.
Good. Right on sound.
Yeah.
Pop in, pop out.
Yeah.
You know? And we've got good fuel prices. You know, so that's an asset that you might not be thinking about if you're not a voter and you're not trying to do passive planning. And we already talked about events, and it truly is we have tons of ideas. It's the execution and getting the volunteers. And if the port's going to put on events themselves, the number one thing I'd be thinking about is who's going to do that?
Yeah.
Because you guys are all really busy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you don't have a lot of people to commit to.
Yeah. And you have to have that organized, and it takes a lot.
That's a big deal. That's why I said, you know, you come together and partner with the chamber, and then the chamber can go out and get volunteers in the community. I mean, you know, the yacht club will pony up people, and you can go to Rotary and Kiwanis and whatever to garner volunteers, but that's the biggest issue.
Thank you. Great comment.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing about Kingston is that most of the volunteers are of a certain age group, and it makes it really, really hard because they're all really doing a lot, and they're all really tired. And that's another reason why there needs to be, I'm no longer included in that younger group, there needs to be a reach out to that younger group. Luckily, the service organizations have, like I mentioned before, groups that are associated with the high school that they can pull from to do events. And that might be the way, like I said, to get to the parents.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah. I think that, so if you look at really, you know, some of the really successful things actually generate income. Because sometimes you put on events and they're just basically barely break even, or, you know, they don't do that great. So I think the key is also then, okay, what are things that also become almost like tradition? And that's like the 4th of July is so integral to Christmas on the Cove. But if you spread it out, and then, you know, like, look, when you hand it over to Christmas on the Cove, right, you know, So I saw all that information with Kylie, and having people that really are good at organizing, and then, you know, it's a lot easier to administer to something if somebody creates it for you than it is to create it from scratch. It's a big, it's really hard. So I think that take some of those things and take inspiration, but then, you know, we do have to kind of get some volunteers. But the Chamber is, you know, and the Chamber is doing very well. I mean, it's the best I've seen. I haven't been here forever, but I mean, I think that the Chamber is on its standing up and to be doing really, really well, and far better than I've ever seen by a long shot. So, but of course, I saw that with them pretty quick after I was here. But I think that they're going to be a stronger and stronger partner. I really do. I'm impressed. It's nice that Kylie's got a lot of energy. She's young. She's just cranked it out. So I think it's going to be, I think there's some opportunity, but we were looking for, we thought about one, trying to do one really large event, like really major, but then you got to have places to stay, right? So you're trying, how do you hold people more? And so, but I really appreciate the, you know, and the seasonal boards, we only have half the number of people in that last year in the seasonal boards, and the, not including the young folks. So that's where we know, okay, they, after COVID, it started to dissipate. All of a sudden, we lost about half of those. So, but the strategy is going to have to evolve, because what we did, it worked the first year great, worked okay this year, but we got to figure out, we know we can do a little bit better. But part of it's just, it's so laborious the way that we do it. If you're just calling one person, you're cold calling, you can only do so much of that, not great. But yeah, no, but you're great. I've taken all sorts of your stuff, and so it's nice when you got people that can carry that torch, though.
So. You know, Wagoners is also the one to post stuff. Mm-hmm. So what you have going.
The newsletter, yeah.
Yep, and you know, Wagoners post on Facebook all the time, and they post all kinds of stuff. So even if you're saying, hey, this weekend we got yada yada going, and you know, you send it to Wagoners, and they'll put it out on Facebook. So they seem to be a good.
Mark and his crew are really good. Yeah, they are. They're really good.
Good stuff.
Any other public comments? May I ask you a question, Liam?
Yeah.
Did they insist that your name be Liam when you took this position with the Sail Kingston Code?
No.
Because the very first guy was also named Liam.
Oh.
When I first saw that, I thought, he didn't come back to me.
He looks really young.
Yeah, I thought that too. Okay, so our next item is commissioner reports, and we're going to go a little lighter on this tonight because it's after 8:30. Steve?
Well, the only thing I wanted to talk about, Greg and I went to the All Ports meeting. There's an affiliation of All Ports. It's at the Bremerton Yacht Club and the Ports office. One thing that really was rung home with the other ports is federal permitting. And it is a bugaboo, I'm going to tell you. The National Marine Fisheries Service has a permitting calculator now that is going to make doing anything, any overwater, anything, even some of the things that we're talking about, it's going to be extremely difficult and extremely expensive. So we are hopeful. We're working with the Association of the Washington Association of I won't say conservation districts.
Public
Ports Association. And we're working hand in hand with them. They are on that case and hopeful that we can do something with that. But it is going to be difficult. And Greg can probably elaborate a little more. And then, of course, you know, all of the meetings that we've had, I really, you know, am actually blown away thus far. We'll see what happens tomorrow night, but I am hopeful. So that's all I have.
Thank you.
So all I'm going to say is what I have found really wonderful is talking to community members about the economic development plan and the comprehensive plan and the feedback getting from them has been just incredibly positive. And that to me is just heartening that it just seems that this is what the community wants, not just the economic, but also the updates that the port is suggesting to the comp plan. A lot of those are in line with what the community wants to see happen. And I just think it's fabulous. That's my comments.
And I think you were there at meeting number one, so you know that I got choked up and said this is so much better than anything I've heard for so long in this community. So
yeah.
There we are. staff reports?
I don't really have a lot. I just really appreciate you know, your input, and I mean, it's nice to have this background, and we're always open for ideas to take money and help the community. That's what we're about. So,
your comment about all the ports having issues about the changes in permitting.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, every marina in this state is facing huge replacement issues, and it will cripple the marine industry if those all stay in place.
This is going to take legislative action in order for it to change it.
It will.
It will.
Yeah.
It'll take legislative action.
At the federal.
Yeah.
The federal.
Don't
level.
Hurt the marinas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's integral to our plan too, our fiduciary responsibility, and Laura and Mary both talked about that throughout our history. It's imperative that we think in the long term.
Yes.
That's precisely why, you know, the other component of our goal here as commissioners is that we want everything in relation to the marina to continue. It's important to the community, not just about the water component, but a community connectivity, how we support businesses and create jobs. So that is our number one focus, and that's why we are all here.
And I think one of the things that we've struggled with in our conversations is the recognition that what's going to happen with a lot of the marinas is that they're going to get privatized. And when they do, goodbye small boats, because the rates are all going to, you know, skyrocket. And
goodbye water access.
Yeah, that's great. That's
yep. Right. Sorry. That's
terminology
okay. difference.
Yeah.
Two different perspectives.
Anyway, that's who we are. So, I'd like to announce our next regular meeting, which is this upcoming meeting tomorrow is a special meeting. But our next regular meeting is Wednesday, May 24th at 1 p.m. here at, I don't think I need to give the address. We all know where we are. And with that, it is 8:42. I think we're probably adjourned.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Oh, thank you.
I'll second that.
Thank you.
Good job.
All in favor?
Aye. Okay, I'll turn this off.